Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, it's easier to do this here than it is to under pressure at home. You don't feel like praising God. And you're about half mad. Traffic was bad. Everything looked like it's just going down the tube. Now, and here, this is a wonderful thing. But when you learn how to do it then, and you just stop and say, none of these things move me, and you begin to lift your hands, and you begin to worship and praise, and you drive down the freeway shouting and praising God and singing songs of praise and worship, I'll tell you, all hell has to back off. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Copeland, I can't. Don't start that I can't. The Word of God doesn't say anything about you singing with a perfected voice. It says make a joyful noise. You might be shocked at what's on the inside of you. I know you'd be shocked what's in there if you've never really drawn it out. The melodies of heaven are in you. Hallelujah. First time I heard Phil, I was at a small meeting, and he got up and played. And man, I just instantly was caught up into worship. You remember in the Old Testament, they said, give us the word of the Lord. And the prophet said, get for me a minstrel. And somebody began to play under the anointing of God, and prophecy spirit came on that prophet, and he began to declare the things of God. And I'll bring my spirit upon any person that'll worship me, saith the Lord. I will cause things to flow from your spirit through your mouth that you didn't know you knew. I'll show you things to come. I am seeking those to whom I may show myself strong. And if you will release and get rid of all your timidity, fear and being timid are one and the same thing. Timidity is fear-based, but faith raises its voice and doesn't care who hears it. And when you unashamedly praise me is when we can begin to work together, saith the Lord, and great and mighty things will come to pass. Hallelujah. That's what I heard the Lord say. Praise God. And Brother Phil began to pray, and the spirit of the prophet came on me. I could hardly sit still. And when he got through, I said, Oh Lord, what is this with him? I've never heard an instrument like that before. He said he plays in tongues. I said, he what? He said he plays in tongues. I said, what are you talking about? Playing an instrument in tongues? He said, well, isn't your voice an instrument? I said, well, yeah, it is. My being a musician, but also being a singer, my voice is an instrument. I've known that since I was probably 4 years old. Well, he said, what is speaking with tongues? I said, well, that's speaking in a language you didn't learn by the Spirit and not your mind. He said, yes. Well, he said, what's prophesying? I said, that's speaking by the Spirit in a known language. He said, well, he has praised me with that instrument until he's gotten over into the Spirit, and then he just begins to play and worship as he does so. And I thought, my, how little we've been thinking. How small we've been in what we've been doing. Amen. Let's get on out there in God. You know what? All these years, it has been my heart's desire to get out there so far without God, I can't get back. Amen. Hallelujah. And if I don't get back, it just don't bother me at all. Just keep on going, praise God. That's just been in me all these years. And I'd go on if I didn't have more work to do. Amen. Well, are you blessed? Say it, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. say this. The blessing of Abraham is mine. It's working in me now. Working through me now. Working for me now. To bless all those in my environment. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I'm not blessed because I'm rich. I'm rich because I'm blessed. I'm not blessed because I'm healed. I'm healed because I'm blessed. I'm not blessed because I'm saved. I'm saved because I'm blessed. Give the Lord praise and thanksgiving, and then you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Brother Phil. My, the blessing of the Lord is among us and on us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's receive our evening offering. Now, open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis. And I will show you what the Lord has shown me to give to you concerning our offerings all this week. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field, before it grew, the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now listen carefully to what he's saying here. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb or every seed of the field before it grew, the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, or as the commentaries of the ancient Jewish sages in the Chumash say, and man became a living, speaking spirit like God. I love that. I really like that. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything growing on this planet, every seed, every tree, including the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can look in the book of Revelation. You can find two of those tree of lives in heaven. Amen. Every seed God brought here from heaven and planted them Where else is he going to get the seed? Huh? God took heavenly seed, put it in the earth. There wasn't a man here yet. See, he got us started. He kick-started us. He got this whole thing going. Then he created the man and he put him in it. Isn't that good?
Amen.
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 Now, what happened? Well, heaven's seeds produced heaven's results. So the earth and heaven were just alike. The only difference in the two was the fact that when he created this heaven and this earth, he created matter. This was a material earth. Now, that must have been God's perfect will for all men for all time. Amen. I mean, he did that before there was any man. And then he formed the man and he put him in it. Kind of been his will. Now, in the heart and in the mind of God, does God intend, has he ever intended? Can you find it anywhere in the Bible where God intended to sow seed and then it just get progressively worse? No. It gets progressively better. Amen? Oh, yeah. Not until the curse came involved did anything get worse. So now I'm believing God, you ready for this? Amen. In God's mind, in His way of thinking, glory to God, the Garden of Eden should have been the worst condition mankind would ever face or experience. That was the beginning. It should have gotten better with every crop. It should have improved and gotten better and better. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, it was God that made those first seeds grow. Well, now, wait a minute. Before you butt me out of this. Yeah, but. That's a badge of unbelief. Four words, yeah, but what if? Will get you killed. So get your yeah, but out of the way and go on and use your faith. Amen. Now, see, God brought seed from heaven and started the earth. We have the geographical dimensions of the Garden of Eden right here in the book. It was not the whole planet. He intended then for man, who he blessed with exactly the same authority and exactly the same glory and exactly the same faith and in his image with exactly the same assignment on him to do exactly the same thing that he did when he made those original seeds to grow. The man was to continue from there, take the seed off those trees and plant them and speak over them, speak the blessing 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 over them, until that blessing began to cause that garden to grow and expand and expand and expand.
Yes.
And part of the blessing was fill up the earth.
Yes.
With what? This garden?
Yes, right.
Until the entire planet was the garden spot of the universe.
Glory to God.
It'd be heaven on earth. Yep. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now that was his will. Well, if it ever was, it still is.
Amen.
If it ever was,
amen,
it still is.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, before the week's out, you're going to know a whole lot more about that.
Amen.
But the thing the Lord said, he said, I want you to read that and show them what I taught you in Gloria over the years about sowing and reaping. It's not just sowing, it's sowing and reaping. He is still the Lord of the harvest. Isn't that right? And Jesus called the Lord of the harvest. Absolutely. He's not only the Lord of the harvest, He's high priest of the blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the seed from heaven. Oh, I so want to get this through to you. But it's going to grow and it's going to come as we go on this week. The seed from heaven. Now, the first thing you and I think of is this, you know, the little seed to those trees. Well, that's true. But stop thinking with your natural mind. What were the heavenly seeds?
Words.
Words. Words made heaven grow. Words. Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. Well, then what happened? When His word, He took His word that created every tree for food, everything that's in the heavenly city of Jerusalem and all over the planet of heaven, all over that glorious, wonderful place. He took the same word that He had released and created all of that and brought it into this planet and then surrounded it with a natural seed. That seed had His word in it. And released it into the ground. And He made it grow. How did He make it grow? He spoke to it. Now, Bub knew that time. It hadn't rained yet. Didn't need any rain. He's raining on it. Praise God. He's speaking the rain of heaven over the thing. Well, what happened? It grew right here in the earth. And only that the addition to it was this natural, physical matter, material, part of this that you and I so enjoy. This is our place. God liked it so much that He's given His word that He's moving the whole city of Jerusalem here. That's His plan all the time. That was His plan all the time, was to move here and live here with us. Amen. Heaven was never meant for people to live there. That's just a holding place. Till we get the blessing reestablished in this planet, you and I are part of it, praise God. And Jesus, this millennial reign, the last 1,000 years of that first seven, the 7,000th year, as He takes charge, you will see the blessing function without measure and in its absolute fullness in this earth. Amen. You ought to say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But you and I can walk in it in an unlimited fashion right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ooh, we're the chosen generation.
Amen.
We're living in it, praise God. Walking in it. It looks big to us, but we just now getting started, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Now then, I said all that to get you to this. Heavenly seeds produce heavenly results. Heavenly seed produces heaven's result. Now, all over the Bible, it says, like God, Abraham, like God, called things that be not as though they were. Enter into rest as God finished His work and entered into His rest. Love one another, even as I have loved you. Amen. So now you have the same authority, you have the same right to sow seeds from heaven as God did when He started the Garden of Eden. How do you do that? Well, you got a whole book full of them.
Amen.
These are the word seeds.
Amen.
Now what is the money? The money is the natural part. That's the natural part around the living part. The word is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive. It's a living thing. Money has no life. It's worthless until it's turned into goods and services. Unless you apply fear to it. Now, money becomes a value of its own when you apply fear to it and you're afraid to do without it. That's when you start keeping it and that's when you start loving it. Now, I'd like to inject this right in here. Don't practice love on material things. Oh, I just love my car. Well, you ain't got no business loving your car. The Word of God didn't say God gave you that car to love. He gave it to you to enjoy. But you start loving that stuff, and the next thing you wind up doing is loving money, and that's the root of all evil. So, well, you know, I mean, that's extra. I didn't plan to put that in there, but there it is. Amen. But practicing that is materialism. Trying to satisfy spiritual things with material things is materialism. Materialism is not having a lot of material. You can practice materialism with less than $50. You can practice materialism with nothing. There's some people that'll kill you for less than that. Amen. Now, let's receive this offering now. That's the reason in meetings like this, where your faith's active, your faith is alive. And you take the Word of God, which, I mean, just comes alive in this kind of environment. That's the reason the Word says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, in big meetings like this, this cannot take the place of church. Well, Brother Copeland, they don't teach these things in our church. Well, then leave. Duh. Now, if you're called and you know it to be in that, not just because your grandma went there, or not just because it's only 3 blocks from the house, that ain't enough to be called. You pray till you find out where the church is that God has called you to be a part of, and you go get in it. It's not because you like it. You're not the judge. You find out where God has called you to be, and you go get over there in it, and you start supporting that pastor, and you start praying for him or her, and you start helping. You don't go to church all the time just to draw off of that preacher. You go to church to help that preacher. You go there to pray for the preacher. You go there to help every way you can and sow into that church. Amen. Now, when you get involved like that, and God begins to pull that whole congregation together. Well, this is days of heaven on earth when you begin to walk in things like this. It is so powerful. The local church is the most powerful thing on the face of the earth. So, but it takes meetings like this for us all to get together. God didn't intend for us to break up in sections and different colors and races and denominations and all that kind of stuff. He intended for all the churches to come together and all of us get together and have a meeting like this. Dear God, rock the whole city if all of us come together at one time. Amen. Well, I said all that to say this. As you begin to sow this seed, the Word of God, seeds of the blessing. All of my needs are met according to His riches and glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Had a guy stop me in a parking lot of a department store one time, hollered at me. Well, I rolled the window down. He come running over there to me and stuck his finger up through the window of my car right in my face. I said, I could tell before he got there that he was mad about something. Now, Brother Copeland, I'll tell you, God promised to meet your needs. He never promised to meet your wants. I said, He didn't. No, He didn't. Well, put your gun up, brother. I mean, I ain't mad at you. You know, where you? I mean, he's red in the face. He's so mad at me. I said, don't the 23rd Psalm mean anything to you? Huh? I said, don't the 23rd Psalm mean anything to you? Well, of course it does. I mean, the part about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll see you. I don't want to sit there and argue with him. I'm going to leave him with I shall not want, you know. Amen. Why, he didn't hear it. He's too mad to hear it. His flesh is barking so mad, he's so loud, he wouldn't have known God if he come walking down the street with a sign that said, I'm God, who are you? Amen. But now, take the living word and you house it in that natural, physical money. Money is worthless until it's turned into goods and services. Why? It's not a blessing until it's released. Now, when it becomes part of the blessing, whoa, it's out there multiplying and growing. Now, the money itself, let's take that. You invest that money into a ministry. You invest it wherever God tells you to put it. It's not always in a ministry. A lot of the time, it may be in an elevator somewhere. It may be in a grocery store someplace. You may be pumping fuel into your car, and somebody else is standing there wondering what they're going to do with a dollar's worth of $3 gas, $4 gas, $5 gas, you know. And you pick it up from the Spirit, and so you cut your pump off quick, and you say, here. And you stick that pump over in their car, and you don't even know them. And you say, what are you doing? I'm blessing you. Shut up, will you? I'm blessing you. Now what's happened? Your money has been turned into the blessing of the Lord.
Amen.
Now that's seed sown.
Right.
That's seed sown. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that money is going to go into the, you know, the finances of this meeting. It's going to go into the television ministry. It's going to buy, you know, different things and all that kind of thing. Well, once that happens, well, then the money has been expended. Now, what happens when you put a seed into the ground? Well, now, wait a minute. That husk dies away. All it did was protect the seed until it could get in the ground. You can leave it on your dining room table from now on. It won't do anything. But you get it in that ground, in that husk. What does the ground do? The ground knows what to do. The sunshine knows what to do. The seed knows what to do. And the water knows what to do. Ground was created to grow things. That's the reason when you put a... You put a fence post in the ground, it'll rot the bottom off of it, won't it? You know what it's trying to do? It's trying to make that post grow. See, that's what it does to the husk of that seed. It deteriorates it. It rots it away. Rots that outside off until it's gone. And here comes the life in that seed.
Amen.
Now, when you plant heaven seeds, glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. You name that seed. What part of your life it needs it? Are you sowing to get rid of debt? Are you sowing for healing your body, the salvation of your family? Or whatever it is. A seed will meet any need.
Amen.
Meeting needs without seed. It can be done. But it's a hard road to hoe. Because somebody else is going to have to do the believing and the sowing for you. Even if that somebody else is God. He didn't intend for you to live on miracles. He intended for you to live on this seed bag he provided for you. In two different covenants. He's given you his word to sow. Amen. And whether you're surrounding that seed with money, whether you're surrounding it with something else that the Lord instructed you to give, whether you're surrounding it in time that you're spending ministering to somebody, or you're surrounding it in kindness and love, every word you speak is a seed. Every action you do is a seed. The Scripture says there's no curse that's causeless. Do you know there's no word in the Hebrew language for coincidence? Glory, and I learned that not too long ago from Rabbi Lamkin. And the Jews rightfully believe if there's no Hebrew word for it, then it doesn't exist. Because that's the original language. There is no coincidence. No such thing. There's no Hebrew word for it. You have to go to some other language and make it up. I also found out there's no Hebrew word for retirement. Amen. But there is a Hebrew word that says man's days shall be 120. Amen. So here we go. It ain't quitting time yet. Praise God. All right. Father, we receive this offering tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, yeah, now question the Lord in your spirit. Lord, what would you have me to do in this offering? I don't know. The Lord may tell you, you hang on to your offering for another couple of days. I want you to get more of the Word in you. I want your faith to be stronger. The Lord may say to you, I want you to give such and such. But now, yeah, but Lord, hey. Yeah, but it's a badge of unbelief. Yeah, but that's my rent money. Yeah, but that's my grocery money. That's the Babylonian way of thinking. Amen. Amen. The largest contributor for years to Oral Roberts University was a man on a fixed pension that wound up, had stomach ulcers so bad he couldn't eat solid food, and wound up in one of Brother Robert's big healing meetings back there in the big tent days and so forth. And the money ran out before the month did, and he had $5 left. And he did it like he said the woman with the two mites did, said she threw her offering in. He threw his in the offering container that night. And he said, there it is, Lord. That's all I got. Praise God, you're going to have to do something. Well, he wound up with a healed stomach.
Amen.
And God sent him back to the Ford Motor Company where he had retired on this little pension, with the drawings and plans that he had presented to them sometime before on a locking hub, automatic locking hub for a four-wheel drive. General Motors had come out with that, and Ford was behind, and they were having trouble, and they couldn't get that front-wheel drive clutch to work right, and they were really sweating it. And the Lord, he was at home, you know, vacuuming the carpet, man. And the Lord said, go up in the attic. What? Go up in the attic. Go up in the attic. Okay, all right. He went up in the attic. The Lord said, get out those plants. Lord, I don't want to get into that again now. No, I don't want to get into that. The Lord said, yeah, I want you to take it back down there to them. He said, Lord, they laughed me out of that office the last time I was in there. He said, they ain't going to laugh at you this time. I'm going with you. Hey. Amen. This is a guy with his name ain't got but $5, man. But it is a heavenly seed.
Yeah.
Brother Roberts had been talking about seed faith, and it's the first time he ever heard about it. Threw that $5 in there, took that thing back down there, and they said, hey, this is it. This will work. This is what we've been looking for. Make a long story short, he got a piece of every Ford truck that rolled off the assembly line. It was a four-wheel drive. Praise God. He was the largest contributor to Oral Roberts University. The blessing of the Lord, it made rich. The blessing of the Lord, it made rich. Amen. Well, yeah, but now, Brother Copeland, that ain't no end. There you go with your yeah, bud, again. That ain't never going to happen to me. You're right. You're just as right as you can be. But it's sure going to happen to me.
Yes.
I decided it's happening to me, praise God. I decided that back there 41 years ago when we didn't have anything. And it worked, and it's still a working. Amen. Say, how rich are you, Brother Copeland? However rich I need to be.
Amen.
You know, there's all kinds of junk that's been coming out in the news media. There's one local guy there in Fort Worth, Dallas, on television said, well, we all know Copeland's a billionaire. I said, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Yes, amen. I've been quoting that all these years. I agree with you, brother. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Praise the Lord.
Well, God don't wait till you got the money to tell you to do something. I'm as rich as I need to be. I'm as rich as he needs me to be.
And I found out that he needs me to be a little more than I am now. And when I get there, it'll be a little more than I am then. You know why? He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think.
Amen.
But then when he does it, then I can ask or think that. So then the next time he has to do something more than that, that I can ask or think. But when he does that, now I can ask or think that. So the next one, it got to be better than that. And then the next one has to be better than that. Come on, Lord, let's just keep on going. Praise God, we just keep walking in this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, that's not my message tonight, but it's part of it. Amen. Father, we receive this planting tonight. We receive this sowing tonight. Reveal, please, sir, to your people what you would have them do in this offering tonight. And we receive it, and we bless them, and we release the blessing of the Lord. We release it in Jesus' name. We release it, ministering angels of God. Go. Go on forth and do those things that God has planned for you to do in bringing the blessing in your ministering for those who are heirs of salvation. And we thank you for it. Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Now, Satan, we bind you. Take your hands off of God's money. Take your hands off of God's people. Take your hands off of their affairs. In the name of Jesus, bow your knee to that name and stop in your maneuvers to keep God's people down financially and down physically and down in every way of their lives. Father, in Jesus' name we pray it, and we give you the honor and the glory. Amen. If you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hand. The ushers will hand you those. And would you please write clearly and plainly where somebody can read it? Would you print? Don't write in other tongues. We got other things to pray about other than not being able to read your name and address. Now, let me tell you this. I have given my solemn oath to God that not ever, any time, under any condition, will this ministry release your name and address to anybody on the face of this earth. No ministry, no mailing list people, or no government agency is privileged to your name and address. Amen. I just want you to know, we consider that a sacred trust, and that's just the way it is. So now, ushers, after you pass out the envelopes, go ahead and receive the offering, and people will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Miss Kennedy. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. That's Candy and Stephen LaFleur. Would you give the Lord a praise and let them know you appreciate them also? Praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked... The word wicked comes from wicker or twisted. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but my word shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Amen. Now, the word is God's thoughts and God's ways. Now, let's hold your place there, and let's go over into the New Testament now. In 1 Corinthians, and let's look in the second chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now, before we go on, we must stop here for a moment, because if we don't, the rest of it cannot and will not mean to you what it should. Because we're having to change our way of thinking. Now, see, God, when He created, when He took seed from heaven and planted in the earth, when He created the Garden of Eden, He made every human being ever to be born on this planet richer and wealthier than your wildest dream. See there? I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. Beyond man's wildest imagination. That was His plan all the time. He never intended for you to ever lack. He never intended for you to be sick. You weren't created for sickness. You weren't created for the curse. You were created by compassion Himself to live forever and ever and ever. Yes. And that's the reason Jesus came, to get it back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You understand that? Now, what we read in the... Now, put your little ribbon over there. Because we're not done with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here. We're going to go back and forth. And go back over there to Isaiah 55. Now, the 55th, 54th, and 53rd chapters of Isaiah are all connected. That is a flowing word. Do you understand that all of the prophets, all of the Old Covenant, every word written here is God calling things that be not as though they were? And they came to pass. The New Testament was born out of the prophets. Hallelujah. It was born out of the first five books of the Bible. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I could just camp right there and have myself a good time. But that's not what I'm called to do tonight. But I want you to see now. Look in Isaiah 52. Verse 14. This is where the Holy Ghost begins to reveal the truth about the crucifixion. See, you only see part of it. When you only see through the eyes of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you only see part of it because they only saw part of it before the day of Pentecost. Now, later, man, they learned after they were born again and after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That changed everything. Then they had the spiritual insight into it. And like he said, I have not seen, ears not heard, neither is into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And He's still revealing them. And He's still revealing them exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. But you have to go back here and get the Holy Ghost's account of the crucifixion to get the whole thing the way God saw it and the way God did it. Now here it is in the 14th verse of Isaiah 52. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Somebody have an amplified translation here close? Thank you, Jan. All right, 52. 14. Let's see. The Amplified is over on this side. Amen. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. But just as many were astonished at him. They watched that happen hanging on that cross. Because he was made sin. He bore every sickness, every disease, all of it. All sin, all sickness, all disease. He bore the entire, think of that. He bore the entire curse. That's the reason that Roman soldier that, I mean, this was a Roman executioner. He'd seen every kind of thing. No telling how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people he'd seen crucified. There were two hanging right there on either side of him. Why weren't they astonished at them? They watched him disfigure under the weight of that. He bore our sins in his own body. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. He bore our fear. He bore our poverty. He bore, I'm telling you, it hit him. But that was only one side of it. They didn't get to see the rest of it. He went from there into hell. And he suffered in the very bottom of the bottomless pit. He bore all sin. No man has ever borne all sin. No man has ever committed all sin. Jesus bore it all. See, He took our sin by faith. We take His righteousness by faith, but He had to take our sin by faith. He received it by faith. It wouldn't have entered Him if He hadn't used His faith to receive it. Hallelujah. And He allowed Himself, made Himself obedient to death and the spirit of death. Separation from His Father. Separation from life. And it like to have destroyed His physical body. Now for His body to show all that, it had to be happening in His spirit or His body never would have revealed it. Are you with me now? I want you to see all that because this is all part of the picture. Now you come over here to the 53rd chapter. And the Holy Ghost begins to tell us. He was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, we esteemed Him not. And then when He got up there on that cross and that centurion said, oh, that had to be the Son of God. Now where did he get that? How come he called Him the Son of God? That really, it just on the surface, doesn't make any sense. But now it'll tell us right here why he did it. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Now, griefs and sorrows are part of the Hebrew words translated there. And they're important. He bore our griefs. You don't have any business being grieving over anything. He bore our sorrows. And the New Testament tells us to sorrow not, because we're not like other men that have no hope.
That's right.
And you going around all the time say, sorry, sorry, I'm sorry, 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 sorry. Dear God. Well, I'm in the covenant, I really don't mean that. Well, the devil don't go by what you mean. He uses the dictionary on you. He takes a word for what it means, and he will accuse you with it. Amen. Isn't that what happens in a court of law? You don't use a word just because it sounds good, brother. They'll use a dictionary on you and whip you in a court of law. You didn't even know what it meant when you put it in the brief. That's the reason you really need to be careful about what you're using with your mouth. Particularly if it is a sweeping phrase. And everybody is saying that fantastic. You better check and see what fantastic means. Wasn't that a great service last night? It was incredible. Lord, I hope not. Incredible means it has no credit nor value and can't be believed. Well, no, Brother Copeland, I mean, you know what I meant. Well, no. I don't know what you meant. I know what you said. I didn't mean to say that. Well, Jesus said, let your word be yes and no, and all the rest of it proceeds from evil. Well, you're just always splitting hairs. Yeah, and I'm the one with the money. And the healing. And the gas wells. And I didn't have any money when I got them. But I had faith, brother. And God turned my faith into everything I've ever needed for the last 41 years. Amen. So don't sit there and put me down for being picky at my words. I've also been accused of being extreme and being an extremist. And I'm guilty. And I'm going to get more extreme yet. If I can figure out a way. I serve an extreme God in an extreme heaven. And I carry an extreme book, praise God, that no human being has ever reached the limit of yet. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think we've been extreme enough. Well, I believe you're a fanatic, like Gloria said this morning. Yeah, but I'm a happy little fanatic. So let me alone, will you? Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but those Hebrew words also mean sicknesses and diseases and weaknesses and pain. All right, now stay with me now. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him and with his stripes. Now, you will learn, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him and with his stripes. That's the same Hebrew word all the way through there. And they keep using different English words in this translation. But it literally says, he was bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with those bruises we're healed. The same bruises, the same stripes that got you forgiveness got you healing.
That's right. Yes.
Amen? Yes. And if you have a cross-reference, it'll tell you that in the middle of it there. Now, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone from his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, hang on to that phrase. You got it? He laid on him. Say it. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. If he had, it would have delivered him. He couldn't open his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now the scripture said he bore, didn't it? Surely he hath borne. God laid it on him, but he bore it. Do you see through those two statements? God laid it on him, but he bore it. He took it. That's the reason I said he took it by faith. That's the reason he said to God in the garden, he said, if there is any way, let this cup pass from me. I do not want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that settled it forever. Now, there's another thing that happened in that garden right there. If you'll take hold of it, see, he didn't do anything lightly. Everything he did was a total sacrifice from the day he got to this planet until this very day. He's never done anything for himself. He is giving his life for us. He is still giving his life for you. There's nothing else on his mind except you. Now, see through this. For a moment there, his will and the Father's will were going in two different directions. He said, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. In other words, I do not want to do this. Now, why did that happen? He overcame what you and I would never be able to overcome had he not defeated that Babylonian system out there that Satan was running. But he took authority over his natural will. Oh, glory to God. He took authority over his natural will. He broke the power of that so that you and I can say, your will be done. I don't want my own will. I want yours done. He paved the way. He broke Satan's power over that, a disobedient will. Oh, glory to God. He's my hero. He's my hero. He's strong, man. You talk with somebody strong now. Whoa, that's a strong man that can do that. Well, what we have is strength. Amen? Hallelujah. Now then. God laid on him, and he bore it. Now, let's read on down here, verse 9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his debts. Now, that rich there, that's not the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. That is in the 73rd Psalm. Look, the ungodly who prosper in the world gather unto themselves riches. And what do? They'll use it against God. They'll use it to meet their needs and ignore God. They use money as their God. And this is not talking about the kind of rich that we're talking about. This is talking about rich in that Babylonian system, and you'll use your money to steal and kill and destroy. Now, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. My Bible has a number one by the word death. Does anybody else around here have a note by the word death? My cross-reference, and you come over here and it says, plural, deaths. He not only died physically, but he had to have died spiritually first, or his body never would have died. See, just his physical body couldn't pay the price for sin. It was part of the price, but not all the price. Your physical, he already said, what spirit is spirit and what is flesh is flesh. Now you'll find in here, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. His soul, his mind, his will, his emotions. His mind, his will, his emotion was sacrificed for your mind, your will, and your emotion. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. His body, his flesh was given for your flesh. And his spirit was given for your spirit.
Amen.
What is spiritual death? Get your mind completely off that old Babylonian way of thinking about death. Because none of it is correct.
Well, Brother Copeland, I mean, your body dies. I mean, it's just gone forever. No, no. No, there's coming a resurrection. Two of them. One for the righteous and one for all the rest of them. And that's called the second death. You don't want no part of that one.
Because that's when your old beat up, sin-filled, sick filled body is going to be raised up from the dead, and your old beat up sin filled spirit that's been in the holding tank in hell however long you've been dead, and your body and your spirit are going to come back together if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you're coming back together, spirit, soul, and body, and you're going to live forever, and that body is going to have every sickness it ever had in it, and every disease it ever had in it, and every sin it ever had in it, and every pain it ever had in it, and every sleepless night that it ever went through, and it's going to be that way forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, all because you believed the devil and believed a lie. Hell wasn't created for men. Eden was created for men. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Now, I want to get this to you. This may take you a while. You can meditate on this the rest of your life and never get to the bottom of it all. The same God that created Eden for man, and in his mind and in his future for man, eye hath not seen nor ear heard how glorious his plans are for us. And the Word of God has already stated, my plans are all good for you.
Amen.
The same God that created the blessing for man created hell for Satan.
That's right. That's true.
And he exercised just as much hell when he created hell as he exercised heaven when he created heaven. I'm telling you, hell is one hell of a place. And you have no earthly idea what you're saying when you tell somebody to go to hell. How dare you? Men make light of it. God does not. It is as powerful, strong, godly, as damnable as God bless you is glorious and heaven's own authority. The blessing of the Lord is the most, it is the highest authority ever released in planet Earth. It is the highest of all authority. That's the reason Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And for a human being to tell another human being to go to hell is something that God won't even do. No, he's not doing that. He told the devil to go to hell. And men have been foolish enough to follow him. I mean, there it is. Ain't no use sweet talking you now. I've been at this too long to play church with you. Amen. What's happening? We're changing our way of thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's go back over here. Oh, we're just getting down. We're just getting down now where It's really something. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, verse 10. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now look. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Woo! 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 What does the scripture say is the pleasure of the Lord? It pleases God to prosper his children. It pleases God to prosper his servant. That was the joy that was set before him. And he suffered and endured the shame for the joy that was set before him. Because he saw his seed. What seed? The Bible says that God gave his son in order to receive many sons unto glory. Amen. There's your healing right there. I heard the Lord say that. Praise God. It's working in you now. Now keep it going. Just keep saying, I'm healed. It's working in me now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we're getting somewhere.
Amen. Amen.
Now right there is the resurrection. Can you see it? Now, look where it goes from there. He'll see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify or make righteous many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Who are you?
The strong.
The strong.
Amen.
Now, if you don't know that, you need to get Brother Keith Moore's CD and DVD. Get both of them, the DVD. Watch the DVD when you're at home. Put the CD in your car. That's the way you do this, you understand?
Yes, yes, yes.
The whole family watches the DVDs and then you put the others in your car.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He went into hell, see. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, the work is finished. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, this has been so misunderstood, and he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, he gave up his spirit, released his spirit. No, redemption wasn't finished. It just got started. It still had 3 days and nights to go. What was finished? Well, there's been so much talk about this. Well, then there was different things that were finished. But that's not what he was doing there, and that's not what that refers to. There were some things that were finished there. We won't go into them right here. But what was he talking about? That's the last line of the 22nd Psalm. See, he'd already hooked on to the Word. And he locked into it, and he would not turn it loose. He locked into that 23rd Psalm, which is, that's where it says, all of my bones were out of joint, and the bulls of Bashan gathered up around me. He locked onto the Psalms of God, and he praised God hanging on that cross, and he praised God in hell for 3 days and three nights, and the praise of God defeated all of hell. That's the reason God don't like Phil Driscoll. I mean, the devil don't like Phil Driscoll anymore, and he does. Put him in prison, and he praised his way out of it. And that's what you're supposed to do. See, that's what we do. We just preach the Word wherever we are. They preach you in, put you in prison, preach the Word. In the city, in the field, going, coming. I don't care. That's what we do. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. So are you. Well, he spoke that. It begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They heard that when he said it. And then they heard him shout the last line. It's finished! There wasn't anything finished but the 22nd Psalm. Can you see it? I mean, some of you are looking at me. Well, I'm not saying what you've been preaching is wrong. I'm just telling you what to add to it. There were a lot of things that were finished, but redemption was not one of them. Because the physical body could not do the whole thing. I had a man hold a sign up and walking around a building I was preaching in one time, Copeland don't believe in the blood. I said, yeah, I do. No, you don't believe in the blood. You don't believe it was redeemed by the blood. I said, excuse me, you don't tell me what I believe.
Oh,
yeah, but I listen to your tapes. Well, I doubt that.
I don't know.
But I walked up there to him, looked him right. I said, I thought you might ought to know your sign is a lie.
Amen.
And I stuck my hand out, and he shook it before he thought. You know, it's just that. He shook his hand, and I grabbed it. And I just started praying for him. And he's tugging, trying to get his hand out. And the more he tugged, the tighter I got, you know. And it finally got to where I guess it was a little painful because he quit tugging. And I said, I just prayed, Lord, bless this fellow in the name of Jesus. And together we both believe in the blood and all that. Well, see, he just hung up over in this natural side of it. And was only seeing a part of it. But you get in here, man, the Word of God will show you the whole picture. You see it all.
Amen.
The cross, hell itself, then the resurrection of the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Now, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Now the Holy Ghost is talking to the body of Christ. Oh, the resurrection has come. Now he's talking to us. He's talking to those that have accepted him as Lord and Savior. And see, the Word of God doesn't draw any distinction between you and him. I said the Word of God doesn't draw any distinction between you and him. Because when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, any man that is in Christ is a new creation. He is a new creature. Adam was a creation. You are a creation. Well, they didn't get it. I'll go over here and this side. See, the Greek text literally says, any man that is in the Anointed One and His anointing is a new species of being that never existed before that moment. You're not just an old forgiven sinner, just an old sinner saved by grace. Get rid of those sin tags. That's false humility to start with. You can't be both. You can't be an old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner, you got saved by grace. You are a new creation. You are in Christ Jesus. And God sees no difference. You are a spirit of His spirit. You're one spirit with the Lord. You're a bone of His bone. You're flesh of His flesh. And I'll tell you, what's His is yours, and what's yours is His. And you ought to be walking together. You have been named after Him. You have His spirit. You have His heaven. You have His earth. You have His blessing. You have His life. You have His name. Huh? That's what the 54th chapter is talking about. Oh, glory to God. Now, we don't have time to go through that whole thing, but there is 8 and 9 and 10, 11, 12, and 13, 14, and 15. We want to read those verses right there. Because this is talking about you. This is talking about me. This is talking about the body of Christ, the joint heirs. Heirs of the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. Now when was that? Well, I just told you it's in the 53rd chapter. He turned his back, did he not? In a little wrath, 3 days and three nights, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness. And the Hebrew word here is hesed. It refers to covenant. With everlasting covenant faithfulness and compassion.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I have mercy on you, saith the Lord,
your Redeemer.
Ah, we're talking to the redeemed here. Amen.
Amen.
This is as the waters of Noah unto me. Now, right here, you're going to have to change your way of thinking. You're going to have to get off of that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. No, don't give me no old-time religion.
No.
Give me the Word.
Amen.
I know what the song is about. Don't write me ugly letters because your great-grandma loved that song and sang it in a camp meeting. I understand what they're singing about, but what I'm talking to you about is the religion that sold us a bill of goods that God was against us. You believe the book? This is as the waters of Noah unto me. Now, let me ask you this. You can stop any Christian on the sidewalk. Anybody that's ever been to church, anybody that I don't care. I didn't make any of what denomination, in particular if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I mean, that doesn't make a difference which one of the denominations you're in. There's two questions you can ask them all, and they know the basic answer. One of them is, are we supposed to love one another? Yeah. You know that if you ain't been born again 30 minutes. You're probably not doing it, but you know you're supposed to. Amen. Every Christian knows the answer to that. And the other question is God ever going to destroy all living things with water again?
No.
See, everybody knows the answer to that. You cannot even own a Bible, and for some reason we all know that that ain't going to happen. Well, I'm glad you knew the answer. This is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, who has mercy on you. Now, let's talk about something here. This can's wide open, so I'm going to have to stop here and deal with something. May I just go ahead and finish 1 Corinthians 2:16? It says, I have not seen, neither ear heard what's entered, neither entered the heart of them, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Who has known the mind of the Lord that we might instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the same anointing for our minds that Jesus has on His. Amen. So that changed. But now, the problem is taking Isaiah 55 out of context and just hanging it up here and reading it. He's talking about, in Isaiah 55, us having the mind of Christ. Now, why did God do the things that He did in the Old Covenant? There's several things there that we don't have really time enough to go into tonight. But I can tell you this, some basic things here so you'll have better understanding. We have a problem, in the first place, with English translations. You have to remember, particularly the Authorized Version, what we call the King James Version. Hebrew was not a spoken language. And the people that translated it didn't speak Hebrew. They knew Hebrew from books. Religious Hebrew.
could conduct religious Jewish services. But to translate it into other languages, it really got messed up, particularly in English. I mean, we've gone through Greek, we've gone through Latin, we've gone through all these different things. And by the time it got into English, they did not realize that there was a permissive verb in the Hebrew language. Well, now today, Hebrew is a living language, man. It makes all the difference in the world today. So when you see things, well, just take, for instance, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. It's translated two different ways. One of them's right, and the other one is in error. One of them says, "Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, keep his commandments, and do these things, and observe these things that I have commanded you, and all these blessings shall overcome you and overtake you." But now he says the same thing for the curses. Huh? Now that's correct. See, God didn't have to curse anybody. The curse was already here. People say, well, that's the judgment of the Lord. Well, in a way it was. Actually, you know, God didn't have to come down and get involved with it, because sin will run you into the wall eventually. The wages of sin is death. And there is a way that seems right to a man. That Babylonian system out there seems right. It'll kill you. You just stay on it, and judgment's coming. Why? Because God's already told you in the book what's going to happen if you keep going that way. And if you don't get off of it, you're going to get there. That is a form of judgment. There is an active judgment coming when God is going to get involved in it. And you don't even want to be standing close to it. You understand that? All right, now, what happens then when it says things like God had to get involved with Israel? Well, now you have to understand, folks, Satan had authority and power in those days. He got it from Adam. He was ruling with an iron hand. The only way God could get involved with human beings was by covenant. He had to be invited in because he had been invited out. He had to leave. 2/3 of the angels left with him. That other third stayed. Made a bad choice. What was that noise on the day of Pentecost? I said, was a rushing mighty wind? No, now, wait a minute. The scripture said, it was as a rushing mighty wind. It was loud and noisy. And the only way they knew to describe it was a rushing mighty wind. What was it? It was the day the Holy Ghost and all those angels came back into this atmosphere, because Jesus had taken Satan down and all authority had been given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. All of those angels were created, all of them that are in the earth. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that are heirs according to the promise? Heirs of what? Heirs to the blessing. They're here to assist. Now, there are angels that are in heaven. They're not called to be down here. But those that appeared in the old covenant, and you see it, what's called Jacob's ladder, you see angels going to and fro. That's not happening anymore. They have been sent forth. If they were created to be in the earth, they are in the earth now. And we outnumber the other bunch 2-1. Without us. And we're the ones with the authority. Hey, listen to me now. Now stay with me in this. Now, in that old covenant, God made an agreement with Abraham, and Abraham agreed to it. He made an agreement first with Noah. Bless Noah and his sons. Shem stayed with it. The other two didn't, and created the Babylonian system. Now you come down. Shem blessed Abram, who became Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, and Joseph, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. Well, then came Moses. Now, the ministry of Moses, Israel had been in Egypt 400 years. Do you ever wonder why all those scriptures in there about food? They didn't know how to eat. They'd eat anything. They learned how to eat in Egypt. See, only the last 35 years of that 400 was it hard on them and they were slaves. Because up until then, the Pharaohs remembered Joseph because it was Joseph and the blessing that made the Pharaohs wealthy. And they treated them righteously and well. They learned to live good. They learned to eat this junk. They learned mingled seed. That's genetically altered food. And it's just as wrong today as it was then. It'll kill you today just like it did. People make fun of me because I eat organic food. But I'm 71 years old. And I'm stronger than I was 25 years ago.
Amen.
But, now listen to me, I don't depend on the food. Thank God for the food, and that's a righteous thing because it nourishes my body. But I depend on greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
That's the renewing of my youth and my strength. Praise God. I'm getting stronger every day. I don't see no use in getting weaker every day.
Amen.
When the weak can say I'm strong.
Amen.
But they had gotten off on that. They were dying. I'm telling you, the lifespan of people back there, there's 25, 30 years. And they got out there in the desert listening to God at least a little bit and could live 70 and maybe 80 by reason of strength.
All right.
That's not yours. God had already said, the days of man shall be 120 on the earth. That's yours. The scripture says, or until you're satisfied. The long life you're satisfied. That's why that was in the Word. God had to make covenant with them and had to retrain them and teach them how to eat. They had forgotten Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all that had been learned. That there was no book back there then. So God made a covenant with Moses, and he said, you tell the people this, if they'll do these 10 things, if they'll agree to this, and they'll do those 10 things, I'll be their God, and the blessing will be theirs. And they said, yeah, you tell him we'll do that. We'll enter covenant with him. We'll do those 10 things. We'll do them. That took them then out of Satan's jurisdiction. But it didn't take Satan's power away from him. Now today, he's powerless. The only power he has is what you will give him. He doesn't have any. Jesus stripped him of everything he ever had. He is marking time and trying to change it. And he just can't hack it. He's a spiritual machine. He's an angel. Angels are nothing compared to men who are in the likeness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. When they ignored him and broke those 10 articles, all of the other commandments and all the other things that were written in the Torah and all these other things were in relation to those 10 articles of covenant between them and God. Now, when they violated it, that gave Satan authority. So what did God do? He did the same thing any parent would do and must do. He must intervene before something worse comes on. And man, the thing that got them in trouble more than anything else. I mean, he would put up with the violation of thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. They had violated all of that, and God would put up with it, and put up with it, and talk to them, and deal with them, and go on and on and on. But when it got down to thou shalt have no other gods before me, then he had to step in, because if he didn't, Satan would annihilate them. And they started worshiping trees and other kind of weird stuff, and got into other gods and other practices and so forth. Well, what did he have to do? Well, he had to really just step in and herd them like a bunch of cattle in order to, and a lot of pressure come on them, a lot of hard things in the earth come on them. They're all spiritually dead people. No, nobody born again until Jesus paid the price for it. But that ended at the resurrection of Jesus. There is a new covenant. And this one doesn't have any curse on it. Glory to God. He bore all that curse. He bore it. He was made sin for us. Oh. And here he said, I'll never be wroth with you. As the waters of Noah this is to me. And I'm telling you, I will never be separated from you. I will never be wroth with you. I'll never be mad at you. Well, did you see that hurricane come blowing through here? Broke down all them churches out of God, taking judgment on Florida. Brother Hagin used to have a saying that fits that. I've never found any way to improve it. He said, I'd just as soon hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. That's about... God ain't out to destroy churches with windstorms and hailstones. Huh? Did you read that 54th chapter of Isaiah there? Well, you hadn't read it all. I'll get back to my business. I'll read the rest of you. If you think that is tough, wait till we get down to this. Say amen, Brother Copeland. I have sworn I'll not be wroth with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains will depart and the hills be removed. But my covenant kindness and mercy shall not depart from thee, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on you. Oh, afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, the Lord, I just have a little cabin on glory land. I just a little place. I'm just unworthy. Oh, I'm just no good. I'm just like a little worm crawling through the sand. Yeah, and the chickens are going to get you. I'm so unworthy. But you know, God is really tired of hearing that. Right in the face of what he did on the cross. There was one particular place, she was at church Jerry's talking about, where Carolyn got him to come. I was preaching there. And it seemed like every time I'd come preach there, this guy saved this song just for me. At first I thought it was a joke, but come to find out it was a real song. I mean, it was actually on paper. And he'd just sing it when I came. I don't know, maybe he sang it all the time. Spare me nothing that you bore for me on the cross, if it'll make me closer to thee. That's cussing. That's using that pulpit in vain. That's damnable language. Finally, I got enough of it. And so I got up right after he got through singing that trash. And I just simply said, I said it as kind as I could, but it just didn't come out that way. It just didn't. I said, don't you ever sing that song in my presence again. I don't ever want to hear it. And I think I made Jerry mad that night. Wasn't that the one that... Huh?
That's when I became a defender of the faith.
Yeah, Jerry said, well, who do you think he is getting on our songs? Up to then, Carolyn couldn't get him to come to church. But that night, oh man, he was, you know, he's going to defend this guy. Amen. Oh, Lord. Here it is. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, look, I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay your foundations with sapphires. I hadn't even got that extreme yet, but I'm working on it. I'm looking for some sapphire stones in the foundation of my house. Oh, yeah, Brother Copeland, that's in heaven. I beg your pardon. Pardon. Now it says afflicted, tossed, and tempest, not comforted. That couldn't be heaven. I will lay your stones with fair colors and lay your foundations with sapphire. I'll make your windows of agates and the gates of carbuncles and lay your borders of pleasant stones, and all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness shall you be established. You'll be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and far from terror. It shall not come nigh thee. Now here's when it proves this is not in heaven. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's right here in the rotten here and now. Yeah. Behold, they, the oppression, the fear, and the terror shall gather together, but not by me. I didn't put them on you. I am your Redeemer. Whoa, glory to God. Yeah. That's in the valley of the shadow of death. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of oppression, in the presence of terror, in the presence of fear, my God. And build me a house with agate windows and diamonds in the foundation. Yeah. Did you ever take a good look at how my father lives?
Oh, lavishly.
Did you see in the Word when he met Moses up on top of the mountain? He put his feet.
Now, when Gloria and I travel, I don't like his hotel pillows, man. And I travel all the time. I got my own pillow. Oh. Can I tell them? Can I tell them? Yeah, I'm going to anyway. Thank you very much. You can't be responsible. You're responsible for half of it. When we come to the meetings, when the trucks are going to be here and all, I bring my mattress too. Yeah. I'm old enough to carry my mattress if I want it. I've been traveling for 40 years. I've slept in everything from an iron slab, and I've bathed in concrete bathtubs. That's God, I got a truck. I'm going to put my bed on it. I don't care what that hotel thinks about that. There, God, you wait till this comes to pass. Hey, you ought to read what God did when he came down to visit Moses. He brought his pillow for his feet. And the scripture says it was a sapphire pillow. I'm going to give me one of them sapphire pillows, man. Woo-hoo-hoo, yeah. Somebody get upset because you got a little diamond on your finger, and he carries him a sapphire pillow to put his feet on. You don't know nothing about Rich. But our Father does. Glory to God. Agate windows. Yeah, I'm standing in my house looking out there at all of that terror and all of that fear and all of that oppression, and I'm standing in that land out of my house with agate windows. Glory to God. And the devil attacks you and the news media attacks you and all is that another, and they out there talking ugly. I can't tell you how much I don't care. Now, I'd be all upset if I'd done all that stuff they've accused us of doing. I'd be pretty upset about it. But I didn't do none of that. In fact, we took all that information that they're all hollering about, we took it all to the Internal Revenue Service and invited them to come audit the ministry. But I am violating the Constitution of the United States and giving that information to somebody else. Amen. I'm not going to do it. Amen. They'll gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Now, I'm not praying that anybody over the last 41 years that's attacked this ministry. I don't pray that they fall. No. That's not my desire for my enemy. My desire for my enemies is peace. My desire for my enemies is dear Lord, for there to be peace to come between us.
Amen.
And they call and say, my God, Copeland, I repent, man. I was wrong. I said, man, I forgive you. Glory to God. And I've sent that message in every direction. And some of them heard it. Most of them didn't. But I sent it out anyway.
Yeah.
Offered to come talk to them in person, but they didn't want to do that. Well, I satisfied what Jesus said. But my desire is for us to get together and become great friends.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in the
Amen.
Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I live in my agate windows house, and you can live in yours. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
But it still says what it says. Now, can you see now the 55th chapter is to change your way of thinking from the curse to the blessing. From the tossed, afflicted, and painful to the healed. Sing, O barren. Sing. Now, notice how the 55th chapter begins. And I think I'm going to close with this. Everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy, eat, yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and for your labor, underline the word labor, for that which satisfies not. That word labor means weariness from toil. No. Adam, the ground was cursed for his sake, and thorns and thistles grew up, and God said, you will earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. But that's not talking to you. That ain't talking to you. No, that's not you. Well, Brother Coburn, ain't we supposed to work for a living? Well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm the provider of my household. Well, that's the reason they're all broke. No, you're not the provider. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. Now, I want you to get hung up on the word maketh. The word rich is there, but you got to get the meaning of the word maketh before you'll ever understand rich. Because the Babylonian system says we make money. We make a living. We make deals. We make our way in the world. I'm a self-made man. I made it through college. Huh? Now, that's the 73rd Psalm. I've quoted it to you a number of times. Behold the ungodly who prosper in the world, who gather unto themselves riches. Jesus put it like this. He said the Gentiles are out there seeking what? A living. He used the word what they eat, what they wear, how they live. In other words, they're out there seeking a living. They're seeking riches. Well, that's the only way they got to do it. That's the way they think. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It maketh. I said, it maketh. You know we're not supposed to make it. You're not even supposed to make it. Let me ask you this. Did you earn your salvation?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace, wasn't it? By grace, faith. The gift of salvation was a gift. What about the Holy Ghost? Was the Holy Ghost a gift?
Yeah.
Well, certainly. The Scripture says it was, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, did you earn it?
No.
God baptized you in the Holy Ghost because you're such a spiritual hot rod? No. And because you did so many things to earn that? No, if you did that, you're out of line and you know it.
That's right.
Huh? How'd you get it? By grace and by faith.
Yeah.
How'd you get your healing? Did you earn your healing?
No.
How'd you get it? Same way. What made you think you were going to earn your money?
Same thing.
He is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may continue to be generous to all good works. All this material stuff comes out of grace. Comes out of grace. The blessing of the Lord is purely by grace. Just because He loved you. Amen. It was His will to start with, and Jesus got it back. Somebody don't shout amen there. Now, like I said, I'm still closing now. I'm like the Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, wrote a couple of more chapters. Well, I'm not quite done here yet. Now, in his 55th chapter now, why do you toil for that that doesn't satisfy? Why are you still working by the sweat of your brow to get bread? No, you don't do that anymore. Back up here. Lo, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the water. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. How do you buy without money? You can't unless you're a king. Kings buy without money. Kings say, get me the water. Time to eat. Get the food in here. Let me give you my credit card. No, the king don't carry no credit card. He just said, get that for me.
Right.
Huh? The blessing of the Lord is at work on the inside of you. The blessing of the Lord is functioning. You ought not have anything on your mind, just like Jesus said. You ought not be having on your mind out there seeking what you're going to eat, seeking what you're going to wear, my God, seeking where you're going to go to school, seeking how you're going to get back when you go, seeking how you're going to do this, how am I going to do that? When things get rough, what am I going to do? How am I going to overcome this? Seek ye first the kingdom, parentheses, of which you are a king.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And His righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. Why do I work then? Do I work? Oh, yeah, you'll work more and work harder than you ever did when you was working for bread. Why? Let me ask you this. When God planted those seeds in the garden, can you see Him out there with a hoe and a rake You know, with a big floppy hat on, taking his rag out of his pocket every few minutes, wiping his sweat. No, there was no sweat. You remember when Peter told Jesus, Jesus said, let's go fishing. He said, okay. But now we toiled all night long. We what? That word first showed up with Adam. He toiled for his bread. That's not in the New Testament. That's not in the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. That's the reason he said, my ways are higher than your ways. So we need to change our way of thinking. We're going to have to come out of that cursed thinking and begin to start blessing thinking. We have to start thinking like Him. We have the mind of Christ. Now it's time to exercise it and energize it with faith. That's the place where you say, amen, Brother Copeland. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we didn't get anywhere near through tonight. We'll take it up here tomorrow. But what is he saying to us here? Look at the 13th verse, Isaiah 55. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. There your ground is not cursed anymore. Your ground isn't cursed, it's blessed. Your ground is not cursed, spiritual or otherwise. It's blessed. It's blessed. You ought to get out around your house. I don't care if you live in an apartment house. Walk them down the stairs. Bless the place. Dear Lord, bless it for all it's worth. Amen. Bless it. Blessed coming in and blessed going out. Hey, don't talk curse. Don't talk lack. Don't talk down. Talk up.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Now, I'll have to end this with the principle. Jesus said, why take ye the thought saying? You take a thought by saying it. So how do I change my way of thinking? The whole body of thought that is in my mind that's been there since the day I was conscious in this earth. How do you change that, man? I can think another thought, but it's when I say it without having to think about it that it's my way of thinking. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how do you do it? You go to another source of thought. You get out of the Babylonian source, which is television, newspapers, and I'm sorry to say a lot of church material. And you get over into the book. This is God's way of thinking. This is God's way. It's the way He acts. He is love. He's never self-centered. His way is love. His way is faith. His way is the anointing. His way is the blessing. That's all He ever thinks is blessing. Why? Because the curse has been defeated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So what do? You go to another source. You go to His Word. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I make the decision. I'm going to think this instead of what I have been thinking. I have been thinking that God was rebuking me with sickness and disease, but I'm not going to think that anymore. I'm going to the 54th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and it says that it is as the waters of Noah unto him, and he has sworn to never rebuke me. Why doesn't he rebuke me? Well, all I have to do is go to Jesus, repent, and confess the sin, and it's gone. Because he's faithful and he's just. Amen? So I take the thought and I say it. I make the decision, I take the thought and I say it. I make the decision, I take the thought and I say it. I make the decision, I take the thought and I say it. I make the decision, I take the thought. By His stripes, I was healed. If I was, I am now. Don't make any difference what my body's saying to me. I'm saying what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. I take the thought and I say it. I take the thought and I say it. I take the thought and I say it. And I know that when it comes out my mind without my having to take the thought and say it, I have changed my way of thinking. From the curse to the blessing. The love way. The faith way. The life way. And you're going to spend the rest of your life doing this. Praise God. And the more you do it, and the more you activate it, the more it works, and the more that happens. And Gloria was talking this morning about, I mean, whatever it is you're releasing your faith for. What if it does take 5 years? I mean, it was not doing nothing over that whole 5 year period of time. The whole 5 years you were releasing your faith on one thing, it was operating and doing other things in your life. It is never stagnant. If you'll keep it on the move. Amen. Well, give the Lord praise and stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.